And you don't seem to understand. A shame you seemed an honest man.
Hello everyone, and welcome to Serial Episodes Lanes, Layer 10 of Lost in Translation. I'm May.
And I'm Jay.
This time we watch Layer 10, Love. Before we get to that, we'll just do a quickish recap of what happened last episode. So we find out that Lane was actually delivered to her parents sort of when she was this age, so she's not really real. And there was also an alien in her room at some point. I just wanted to bring that up because it did happen and there was no explanation or anything after that.
It's because that's never relevant again. The alien was not real.
It was very cool though.
Also,
in a way,
she can still be real if she's delivered to her parents. It's called adoption. It's a real thing that happens.
But she was very vacant in her expression.
Oh, we've sort of confirmed they're not really her parents based on their behavior when she's not around.
Mm. And
it is time.
And Taro tried to give her a chip that would overwrite her memories because he was given it to it by Knights. There was some background information explaining how the human consciousness can be communicated through a network without the use of a device. It was a sort of like link to the wide in the way. And also there was a creepy guy who appeared in front of Lane. And that was how the last episode went.
I think the implication is that that guy is the dude who created the seven, Eri, this protocol seven. Yeah, Eri. Yeah, I wonder if I've heard that name before.
Actually, it's Eddie because it's E-I-R-I.
Okay. Yeah. He's the one who sort of like put his mind into the and his emotions into the wired.
Horrifying though.
While also connecting, and the implication is that the wired can wirelessly affect people.
You think it'd be wired, not wireless. Get it?
Well, it's the wired originally, and it's increasingly wireless, I guess.
Present day. Present time.
So the start of the episode starts off with the weird looking guy from the end of the last episode. He's God.
He's less weird looking now when you kind of see his full design. You know what he looks like? He looks like a Street Fighter character.
He does. I was thinking that a bit.
In fact, he looks like Nicali a bit.
Which one's that?
He's the new guy with the dreadlocks. But if you look at him, you're like, okay, I can see it. So they're having a conversation, which is very interesting because he says, I'm God. That's who I am. And then he says, isn't it cool how you're God? And like the conversation flips around and now they're referring to Lane as God.
Mm. And he asks if she's a dead human. And Lane says that she doesn't need a body. And he says, ah, this is the same as what happened with Chisa-chan.
Who's the girl who killed herself at the beginning of the show.
And we get like a quick flash that reminds us of the girl who jumped off the building.
And the implication, I think, is that all of this, everything up until now, was the exact more or less a progression that happened to Chisa. And at this moment, at this crucial decision-making time, she decided that, yeah, she didn't need her body. And the only difference between her and Lane is that Lane, at this point, has resisted.
Yeah, and Lane seems to be fighting it. Like, she says, like, oh, yes, so what? And she snaps.
So she goes, no, I do need a body, actually. Yeah. And there is a fake me going around, who's like a hologram or something. And he goes, that's not the fake you, that's the real you. This you doesn't need a body.
Yeah, and she's like, kind of snaps at him, and that makes him disappear and freak out a bit, I guess.
And they have a brief discussion about how a god requires believers.
Yeah, like he said, like a god is not a god without worshippers. Like a god is only a god when he has a worshipper.
And Lane concludes that his worshippers because most people don't know about this god, but the knights clearly are the worshippers of this digital god.
And God also says there's no god and there's no need for a body.
Yeah.
So it's this conversation switches between I am God to you are God to there is no god.
It's confusing.
Yeah. Then Lane goes to school.
I was supposed to say, it's really easy to sound deep when you say every possible thing and allow anyone to just be like, oh, I remember that part that he said
So yeah, Lane goes to school and her desk is gone.
So she just stands at the front of the class.
And I'm not sure if she hallucinates this, but at some point Alice says, you have no, like, your body isn't needed here anymore.
Well, I think the entire sequence is hallucinated because the teacher walks up with these papers and hands them to someone like straight past her and doesn't see her at all. When she doesn't bow during the thing that they do at the beginning of Japanese school days, apparently, there's no comment made. No one acts as if they see her and everyone's grayed out, although they've always sort of been grayed out, but it's even more spot the main character than ever. And every scene Lane is in with real people, everything is really weird.
Mm.
So there's an argument to be made that nothing that's happening is real.
Yeah.
Or at the very least, this part is definitely not real.
Yeah.
At least not in the physical person in a real place surrounded by real people. There's every possibility she's here and the actual results are different. Or she's imagining all of this from somewhere else.
I actually think she's here and she's not actually there.
Well, you just said two totally opposite things.
But also...
You sound really deep. You must be friends with the writers of the
show. I'm God. I'm also God.
But you're not, though.
But I'm also not God. You are also God. Also, also there's no God.
Fantastic.
I think it's a strangeness. So then Lane walks home and the fridge is open and all the plants are wilted and it's basically empty.
The plants wilting is what weirds me out because it implies she's been gone for a long time.
Yeah.
But why is the fridge open? Like, there's so many different interpretations.
It looks like they evacuated.
They didn't take much food, though.
Yeah, but they obviously took something out of the fridge.
It looks like the place got raided.
Yeah, raided or evacuated. Or they left in a hurry, or they just left and they left the fridge open.
And what's really strange is she checks her parents' room that's totally neat and there's nothing going on and the beds are completely made. Then she checks her sister's room and it's completely like a bomb hit it and everything's everywhere. And she just looks around.
She starts tidying up.
And then her dad shows up at the door and he goes... I was told I wasn't allowed to say goodbye, but I love you, so I'm going to. I've always been sort of jealous that you're this amazing being, but I have to go because they're making me because you've already matured and we've done our job. We looked after you until now. And then he walks away and she yells at him to not walk away, but he does. And that's that scene.
We found out the Knights have been using networks since before The Wired. Like, they've just been that they linked back to the Knights of the Templar. They've always been sort of, like, using the network, maybe even between people, not so much between computers.
Did we know the full name of the Knights before this? Because I didn't remember them ever being called the Knights of the Eastern Calculus.
No, I think they were just called Knights, I think.
Well, they've got a crap name, just letting you know.
Yeah. And Lane says that God is God because he has worshippers. We see the weird kids are watching the news, and that's just what I'm going to be calling them, because they are the weird kids. They're very strange.
They're hanging out in Siberia after hours. And they see the news, and all of a sudden, because one of the kids we know works with the Knights, he goes, they're just publishing the Knights' names on the news. And then the news goes, ah, yes, there's this group called the Knights, and here's literally all of their names and faces.
Yeah.
After which, we cut to a businessman who we'd seen once, and we were like, what's up with this guy?
The man in black guys. We've seen them more than once.
No, the businessman in his office, who was packing up his suitcase. We had seen him once. He'd had like a weird conversation with his secretary.
The weird woman, yeah.
And there was no reason for that conversation to have happened. And now we know he was one of the Knights.
All of the characters shown in the scene we've seen before in random bits. And we've always said, what did that have to do with anything? Like, we had the fat guy.
The mom who, like, got her PC part and she, like, washed it with water, I think.
And she was, like, trying to crack on to the delivery guy.
Yeah. And the fat guy we saw one time.
Yeah, the fat guy was, like, wearing the VR stuff and he was just like, I am one of the Knights!
No, that wasn't the fat guy.
I thought that was the fat guy.
No, that was the dude who collapsed outside. We did see the fat guy once, but, like, just in his apartment on his computer.
But the characters we see here are always characters we've heard of and we saw and we're just like...
We didn't know anything about them, but
we were just kind of like, well, that's random. That's random. Who are they? Yeah. Why did they show us this part of him having a conversation with his secretary? Why is this housewife getting, like, cracking on to a delivery guy, then getting a part, then washing it?
The men in black show up and start killing them. I thought, like, oh, they'd be kidnapping them or something because they're injecting them with, like, a fluid in the neck. No, they're dying. They're all dead.
Yeah, and they're all showing up without other people seeing them.
Yeah.
Like, we all see that they just show up. Like, the only on-screen actual death that we see is the businessman.
Yes.
But we know that the secretary starts coming in right after it happens, and the men in black aren't there. So we can just assume that it happened with the other ones.
We have no idea how fast that went.
Oh, yeah. But we know with the woman, the kid is talking to her, and then she's dead.
Yeah, so it had to have happened while the kid wasn't paying attention, I guess. Yeah,
they're able to get in and get out pretty quickly without anyone noticing.
Which is pretty amazing. And
I'm glad that we were actually given some context to who these people were.
Yeah, too bad they're dead already.
Yeah, too bad they're dead.
So all the Knights are just getting murdered all at once.
Yeah.
And the men in black show up at Lane's place. And she's sitting on the floor. Wires are all wrapped around her. And she's got them clipped onto her lip and her hair.
Yeah.
Which is weird. And they just talk to her. And they go... And she says, so you're just killing all the Knights? And they're like, yeah, our client told us to do it. It was important. We're not going to kill you, though. You're cool. You're doing just fine. And we're going to leave you alone now.
And also, they say they want to remove Eri from the Wired.
Yeah, that's right. Our client's going to... They're rewriting the Protocol 7 because the Wired shouldn't be a weird special place. There shouldn't be gods there.
Basically by Eri.
Yeah, there shouldn't be gods. There shouldn't be a special class of people. The Wired is for everyone. And there's not meant to be extra powers or anything. This is not what it's meant to be. It's just meant to be a social platform. It's meant to be, a subsystem of the real world. It's not meant to be its own world. So we're going to leave you alone for whatever reason. Can't figure that one out, but we're good. And they both leave, and then one of them turns back, takes his glasses off, and he has these really weird blue eyes.
We've seen before because it shows us that he's not
Japanese.
We saw it a couple of episodes ago, I believe.
He's from Dats, America.
Yes.
And he's just like, I love you. All right, I'm going to go now.
Yeah, it's this really weird moment too, like, okay.
It's the second person in this episode who said that.
Like, unless it just means, I admire you, or I love what you
Eishiteru
are.
What means?
I didn't actually listen to that's the words. That's what he said. Oh, Eishiteru, that's like, yeah, that's love.
Yeah.
Because Daisuke is just like, I love lamp.
That wasn't like Skides, it was Eishiteru, like, for sure.
Okay.
And so he fully says it, and the other guy, like, kind of laughs, and they walk off.
As a Japanese person, as a person studying Japanese, I should actually try and pay attention to what is actually said in the anime, and just not just read subtitles.
Well, for example, I noticed that when, at the very first thing that happened in the episode, Lane goes, are you God? And the subtitle says, yes, me. But, like, he says, like, hi, Onita. Like, he says, like, he's confirming and, like, God.
Hi, Kami-sama.
Kami-sama, that's it. And he's like, yeah, God.
Kami-sama means God.
Yeah. So, the subtitles aren't precise. I can tell. But, obviously, it's communicating the right message either way.
Mm.
I don't remember what happens after this.
So, we find out that Lane was born in the Wired. And, as for the third time in the episode, someone says that they love Lane. It's God this time. He says, I love you.
Well, no, I wouldn't find that out. He says she was born in the Wired.
Yeah.
I don't believe anything he says because he's clearly a liar. And yeah. She identifies that he's a liar.
He says, look, I love you. Everyone else is fake.
And the reason he's saying that is because of that statement. You are not a god if you don't have believers. Yeah. And all the knights just died.
And he says, I only need one believer, Lane.
And because we know Lane believes there is a god from before. Yes. We already knew that. And she's seeing through it now where, okay, yeah, you say you're God, but I don't have to believe
you. Yeah, anyone. He's probably not actually God. It's probably just someone who's there and just like, well, people need to worship me.
I need to see a picture of like Irie or whatever his name is again so that we can make a comparison because he's wearing a lab coat. I actually think that's just him in the wild.
I got the impression that was him because of what the Men in Black were saying. It's sort of like, oh, we need to disinfect Eiri from the Wired.
Yeah. And like the angrier he got, the more like, crap blew in with the wind.
Yeah.
And the moment that Lane like rejected him and he looked like he'd been punched, the entire sky cleared up.
Yeah.
Like, there's some good cinematography in this because there's a lot of implication about the way she's thinking.
Yes. I think that episode doesn't, this episode does quite well with that.
It does.
Present day. Present time.
So what are your opinions on this episode?
I thought it was good in the sense that stuff obviously happened. We got some connecting dots. We're like, oh, I get what those things were over there.
Yeah, and it's tying together random scenes that we've seen before. For example, the people that were just randoms, we now know that there are members of the Knights, and I feel like there were there many scenes that we just went, that wasn't relevant?
Not in this one, although I think they were slower than they needed to be.
Mm.
What makes you think, though, is, like, you think back to other scenes we've seen, and now they're irrelevant. Like, there was that weird experiment where they attached all the children to computers and it all blew up and killed the children.
That was interesting.
Yeah, meaningless.
Yeah, but interesting.
With that doctor who was at, like, the resort slash retirement home in The Wired, that's totally meaningless. There was no point to that whatsoever. Mm. I thought that was going to be really relevant later.
Unless it's relevant to the last couple of episodes.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I liked this episode. I feel like it might have been the best one.
It
was still very, like, what is happening, but everything was just sort of like, it's knots were being tied up nicely and everything was being put up together in a bow. Everything's been finishing, loose ends are being tied up. It's nice.
It feels like it's giving us, I don't think, I would never say all the loose ends are being tied up. I'd rather say
they're starting to.
Look, a plot is beginning.
It feels like Lane's only just begun now.
I honestly feel like if this had been like episode 3, it would have been more compelling.
Like, I feel like if the last 9 episodes had all been combined to maybe 1 or 2, maybe even 3 episodes, and this was like just a new episode that was just fairly early on, I feel like we could.
Why do we have a whole episode focusing on the sister being replaced with a ghost when she's not even around anymore?
I'm sure that's relevant in some way.
I bet it's not, because they really wasted a lot of time early. I don't think that you needed to have the parents around for 8 episodes for this moment, from saying goodbye. Because I think it's compelling enough as a weird moment that it doesn't need to be a surprise. Because they already told you it was pretty much going to happen. So just have it happen in episode 3 and then the story can continue from there. I don't know. It's not my project.
We actually got a message on the Reddit from presumably someone who may not listen to our regular podcast. They might. I might be wrong, but I just thought I'd put it in our Lane episodes rather than our main Digimon episode, just in case. So Kumi725 on Reddit says, yes, you guys are on the right track. I don't want to spoil everything for you, but the theory that the Wired and the world being connected is definitely on the right track. In my opinion, going down the Lane rabbit hole, reading into small details about finding old forums and sites about Lane and what different people got out of the story was the most enjoyable part for me and helped me piece together the story. But keep up the good work. I can't wait for the next podcast.
Okay.
So that's good. And I like hearing from people. And I have actually heard a few people say the best part of Lane was like reading up about it afterwards, like finding theories and reading up what people have said and different people's people's experiences with the show, and I feel like a lot of people have said that was their favorite part.
See, I'm on two minds of this, where one, I'm like, I totally understand and appreciate the experience of, wow, that show was really, a lot went on, and I didn't really catch all the amazing details of it until I looked into it. Like, I just finished Mindhunters recently, and the last scene was really good, and I was like, I enjoyed that. And I looked it up, like a review of it, and they went into, okay, this is how this last scene ties everything together as the emotional arc of this character and explains what's going on. And I go, I didn't pick up those subtexts, and that was fascinating. So I enjoyed that experience more for having looked it up. On the other hand, the idea that the primary enjoyment of the series is other people's theories, not what happened, not conclusions, but like, what do you think happened? It implies to me that watching Lane is like having a bunch of paints and being like, I don't know what to do with these. And then you look at what other people have made with those paints, and they've made their own things, and you go, I enjoyed that. That was good. You have done a good job. That doesn't imply that the provision of paints by itself was itself a good thing. On the other hand, I don't feel like I wasted my time watching this episode, which is one of the first times I feel like I can say that about Lane.
Yeah, I feel like this was a good time spent for this episode. That was good.
Like, the only thing I really got out of the last episode was that idea of, okay, I think that one passing scene of flashback of, oh, look, this is what the internet is right now. Like, that's really important. And they tried to cover it with the rest of the episode.
Also, like, the fake Lane episode where Lane of the Wired was sort of replacing her. I think that was quite interesting.
Yeah, but it also didn't go anywhere immediately. And it's only being explored now and only tangentially.
I hope it's, like, fully explored maybe in the next episode or next episode or two. Because that was, I feel like, a big part. Like, Lane is, like, teleporting around to her friends. Her friend's fantasizing about a teacher and Lane's there. And then Lane's at school.
Then Lane knows about it.
Yeah, and Lane's at school. And, she's also the Lane of the Wired at school. And she's like, oh, I don't need you anymore. And she's pulling weird faces and just being weird in general.
Or she dies in a nuclear explosion. It's not real.
Or when the sister shows up and walks into Lane and Lane says, hello, sister, and it's terrifying.
Wasn't that the other way around? Didn't the sister do the weird face?
No, it was Lane.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and she turns her head around and she's like, hello, sister, and it freaks her sister out.
That was never, ever covered ever again.
And her sister was, like, kind of, like, making dial-up noises once.
To be fair, at least, now that there's context of, like, all of them were in on it, that Lane's a big weirdo, no wonder they wouldn't talk about it.
Yeah. But no, there's quite a few bits, but I feel like this may be the best episode of Lane so far. I want them to continue going on this track of actually, like, hey, remember that random scene which you were all confused about, like, what was with the kids who are all praising the sun and Lane was being in the sky?
That's never gonna get covered. I promise you that's never gonna get covered, because there is no explanation for
it. Was
that
cool? It was very cool.
Was it?
I think it was.
Cool's a strong word.
Present day, present time.
Alright, so do you have any other predictions, or should we just continue on?
How
to
could
next
you
time
possibly
on?
Predict this
you're
show?
Right, you're right.
There's
at this
nothing
point
to
now.
It
So next time we're watching Layer 11 in Pornography, and the link dumps in the description. You can contact us and stay updated. You can email us at lostintranslationmon@gmail.com, or you can comment on this episode or message on SoundCloud. You can follow us on @translationmon on Twitter, and you can find us on Lost in Translation on Tumblr, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. We have a Scrum thread on With the Will and a Red thread in the Lane subreddit, and we would appreciate if you would view us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and any other podcast listening app that you use. Ratings really assist people finding out about the podcast, and we'd also read them out on Postmon Pat. Unless it's just about the Lane coverage, then we'll read it about it in the Lane episode, obviously. And we have a website, and you can vote in weekly polls, check out our release schedule, and check out our blog posts. You can also donate to our Patreon with the link in the description for as little as $1 a month, and that gets you access to a Alyssa Slack chat group. There are higher levels with more rewards, such as notes, early episodes, and more.
And thank you to our Patreon supporters, Sam Krieger, who has a podcast called The Moncast with Stevie, who is Stevie Padmon on Tumblr and is currently taking commissions there, Wu Qinglong, who you can find at twitch.tv/WuQinglong, Metal Mime Mon, Joe, Anime Guy, who is Anime Guy Kurosaki and the number one on YouTube, Chuck Mon, Hiro Lado, who's @HiroLado on Twitter, Jason Morosky, Ryuchi, who's Frostman Ranatic on Archive of Our Own, Stephen Rees, who's @WildWing64 on Twitter, Kaidawashi, Mac, Noam, Riku, Chisai, who you can follow @Chisai236 on Tumblr, Kyle, the Lady Bugman, whose anime blog you can find @BaguBuragu.wordpress.com, Tom, Glitchgoat, Azra McCool, Gene Hackmon, who hosts New World Sonata, which is a sci-fi fantasy audio drama podcast, Matthew, Anthony, who is at Anto Classic on Twitter, Lismet, who is a Lekmon on Tumblr, Sithobi, Ellie Vorg, who is Ellie Vorg on Tumblr, Sporky McForkinspoon, who hosts a Digimon podcast called Going Digital, Megan, Kylie Eck, Neobu, Jams, The Time Optimist, Silverhead Freak 25, Harvey, Alex, Nicholas, and Thunder.
You can also make a one-off donation on our PayPal, which you found in the description. It's paypal.me/edgemon. Make sure to listen to the podcast. See you guys next time. Bye.